the Fan, Calgary.
Great hour there. Hour number two of the program will be up for your podcasting pleasure if you missed any part of it. In a matter of moments, it'll be up and you can take it with you. Listen as you go. Join in wherever you like. Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Hourly podcasts now, the way we get it done for you. Here in the iconic downtown studio is powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Boomer, there's Ryan Pinder, and at the home studio, Red Warner. And this is always a highly anticipated guest and a visit as we head back to Buffalo. Buffalo Sabre great and sports legend Rob Ray joins us here on the program. Robert, good morning.
Finally got it right.
Legend.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm fantastic.
Do kids still think
Everybody
you're a legend?
In their mind, it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, like, do the kids, is that gone? Like, you're just...
Yeah, you know what it is? Like, even with the kids that I coach now, they're 12. With the exception of what they see on YouTube, they have no idea.
There's some stuff there, though.
Like, they know me better for doing the games on TV than playing, which is fine.
Now, what about your own kids? Do they still have an appreciation for what their dad did?
My daughter's 17. She has appreciation for not much other than, you know, her friends and going out and doing her thing.
Yeah.
But she's too much like me, and that's the problem. She may think it, but she would never acknowledge it. My son, he loves it because he still goes to the rink with me, and, you know, everywhere you go, everybody wants to talk hockey. He thinks it's great, and he's into it too. So it's good for him. It puts a little extra pressure on. At the rink, you always hear stuff while you're playing games, people yelling stuff at him, you know, referring to me and all that kind of stuff. And
what kind of stuff would they yell at him if they were referring to you?
Not good stuff sometimes.
Oh, really?
Not good stuff.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's not always good. I couldn't go to a game because we had a game. So I'm watching it on Live Barn where, you know, in the ranks, but you can live stream it.
Yeah.
And there was some lady just giving it to him right underneath the Live Barn camera and the mic and just giving it to him. And then started saying stuff about me. And I'm like, I'm not even there. And here's this crazy ass lady giving it to my son. I wish my wife was a little tougher. She could have went over and cleaned her up, but she doesn't got an aggressive bone in her body.
No.
I'm working on that.
Hmm. Well, Rhett's a handful at the rink these days. Getting upset at referees. He's wound up.
Oh, yeah. Giving him.
You know who's like that here is Eric Bolton. They all laugh.
Oh, I bet.
Got to be on the bench by himself because he gets so carried away. That they're like, you know, Marty's saying last night, Marty Ron, he's like, you know, Bolts is going to Chicago this weekend with the kids. We got to make sure there's somebody else on the bench with him just to keep him calm down. So that's good. You got to coach emotionally. You got to have emotion when you're a coach, okay? You can't just stand there.
How?
I watch some NHL coaches now, and there's crap going on in the ice, and they just stand there staring off into space, and I'm like, come on, man.
I was actually wondering about that last night. I was watching the game, and I was looking at what's his name? Brunette there in Florida. And just watching, I'm like, do these coaches ever get... I mean, Sutter shows a little bit, but not very often. Do you see any of the coaches really seem alive?
They never say anything, very rarely. Unless they're questioning a call or something a little bit. And it's, next thing you know, they shake hands and hug, and the ref takes off, and it's all over with. Because
why?
You never see a coach get fired up. Very rare. Very rare. And if it is, it's for 5 seconds and it's over. And he's talking to himself, calming himself down.
I'm guessing there's a reason for it, but I don't understand it. Like, as a player, I'm like, I want a coach that's into it.
I'm feeding off that. I'm feeding off that if I'm a player.
And, it's like Doug McLean talk too much.
Modern day player, the coach thinks, hey, if I do it, it shows I'm not in control or something like that. That, you know, they may do it behind the scenes, but, you know, in front during the game, they don't do it.
I don't know.
And you can't yell at your own kids anymore because they all will cry and pout and whine and go in a shell. So
like kids? Oh, we scream.
No, I still think NHL guys are the same way. They can't handle the criticism. They can't handle being called out. A lot can't.
Well, I guess that's one thing that...
But it's not their fault. I think it's just the way they've been brought up and taught to play, and that's the way coaches have been. And, you know, so it's like in a game when we're sitting there going, man, I wish somebody would just go get
some emotion
just to change the tempo here a little bit. But then you sit back and you think, okay, all these kids come through in junior hockey now. You get three fights, you're suspended. College, they don't fight. They're not coached that way. They've never had to play that way. So we're still sitting here expecting them to, when they get to this point, oh, yeah, you should be doing that, when they have no idea how to do it. So, you know, it's wrong to sit there and question why they didn't.
Nah, I don't know. Wrong. It's this, it's that. We had guys, I remember guys in junior that would fight three times just to get kicked out of the game because it was three fights in a game and you were out.
Hey, I remember sometimes in the NHL you'd be on the road and we'd be staying in a great city and it'd be like between the second and third, it'd be like, okay, I'll get kicked out so I can get to the bar first so the coach doesn't get there and then we got that bar, he's got to go somewhere else. You planned it out.
Yes.
All right, I'll do it, guys. No problem. I'll get it. I'll get my 2, 5, and 10, get out of here, and I'll kick over at such and such.
Team guy. That's awesome.
Team player.
Yeah. But that's what you have to do to be a leader.
So you don't think in today's game that it would go over well to have a coach behind the bench that was actually into it? And I'm not talking. I'm not talking acting like an idiot constantly, but...
Brindamore gets pretty hot.
I don't think it would fly. I don't really think it would fly. I think there would be so many people out there that would be down on it and be all over. It wouldn't be worth the hassle.
The other thing, guys, that we saw Rick Bowness with that home run cut when he wasn't happy with the officials. Brindamore got slapped with the 25K fine as well. I think as much as you guys are right on what you're talking about, the league also is coming down way harder on coaches for this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all the perception of the game. It's a gentleman's game. Come on.
It's not a gentleman's emotion. Yeah. Violent gentleman. Isn't that one of the...
Well, it's like you, Rob. You're not just out there. You're an ambassador for the city of Buffalo. Like, the mayor would be upset if you weren't acting professional.
Have you watched any of the videos? Have you seen videos of this guy?
I don't know him. Pardon me?
Yeah, we've seen the videos.
Yeah. This is the guy you want representing your city. Yes, you. Who else?
Hey.
Do you look back on some of the things and the ways do you think back on the ways you acted sometimes and go,
yep.
Could have done things different.
You know what's scary? And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when you're on the ice and you get out there and you get into some kind of a melee and stuff's going on, you get kicked out and you're sitting in the dressing room and about 5 minutes later when you calm down, you go, what the hell did I just do? You had no recollection of what you did and masking the trainer. What the hell did I do? I didn't do anything stupid, did I? You know, or...
Jeez.
That's scary. You ever in that position? That is scary stuff, man, because you just kind of black out and you go.
I got
suspended one time for my stick broke and I got thrown out and I was walking down the runway and I threw it back on the ice and they said I was throwing my stick at the ref, which I wasn't. And so I go to my hearing with Gary Bettman, and he's sitting there, and he's like, Robbie, what were you thinking at this moment? And I'm, Gary, have you ever been in those situations before? Have you ever even experienced something like that you just kind of just do it, and it happens, and it's over, and then you think back, go, what did I do? Well, no, I've never experienced that. I'm like, then how can you make a judgment on it? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just the player a lot of times, it's the way back in that day where the coaches expected you to be. And they expected that kind of thing. They expected you to go to that line and do whatever you had to do to, you know, make a difference.
No, that's a good point.
You not only get the pressure of you trying to want to do something, you got the pressure from coaching and that too as well to do it. And, you know, they don't care if you get kicked out, so...
You're doing what you think helps your team win, and that's how you make a living, and then the league shakes their finger at you. You shouldn't do that. You're like, well, ask my coach, because I think that's exactly what they want me doing.
Coach Wise said, go take care of that situation. But that's why it doesn't happen anymore. These coaches will never, ever coach like that again, because they're too afraid of getting in trouble and you know, being accused. If somebody ever got hurt or anything, it'd be a nightmare for them. I don't blame them.
Rob Ray is our guest. Before we leave the hockey conversation, because we want to talk about Bills and what it's like in Buffalo right now. RJ getting a banner. I don't know. Did you know that, Rhett, that they're putting a banner in the roof for Rick Jenneret this year?
Well, they should.
Yeah, April 1st, a big night for him.
Oh.
He He'll be raised to the Raptors there, and you know what? Deserving. This guy, out of the time I've been here, and he is probably the most popular person that's ever come through.
They're not doing it April 1st, Rob, are they? April 1st?
Yeah, they are.
April Fools, 1st. They're going to do that? What?
Yep. Well, maybe that's just me. Vicious crap. You might think about stuff like that, but...
I thought you were cutting to give a shot at him. My bad.
No, it's April 1st. They're doing it. Tune in.
Are you speaking?
So he's well-deserved.
Like, who's going on the ice? Are they having a big ceremony thing?
Yeah, they're going to do the ceremony before the game for him, raise the bat, raise the banner into the rafters, and yeah.
Are they bringing any guys in? Hint, hint?
Yeah, guys are welcome to come in, and they're doing a little thing for him the day of, and him and Ripper, actually, we're going to kind of join the two of them together for it, and yeah, so anybody, if you'd read emails, Rhett, that they're sent out from the alumni, you would understand that and realize that.
I didn't get one.
But you don't read emails.
Yeah, you don't get them
on
your phone.
I don't get emails very often. Yeah. They're a distraction, Rob. They're bad for you.
Rick Jeanneret joined the broadcast team in 1971. Longest tenured announcer in the NHL. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I started on radio and then moved to television after Ted Darling was finished. So, and you know, the great thing is he still considers Ted Darling as the voice of the Sabres, not himself. And, you know, he's that kind of a guy. He loves the attention, but he respects what was there ahead of him, and I think that's great.
Are you going to pull out that blonde wig, do the Jeanneret, the RJ impression?
Get the flow going, Robert. Come on,
friend. She wanted it. Nah, you can't. You know, overdo things. You know, once let it happen, it's over with. Yeah. Move on to something else.
How wound up is that city right now for the football team? And can you explain that to someone in Canada, which you used to be, right?
Yeah, well, we played at 7 o'clock on Saturday. They played at 8:15, and we had, I think, four people watching our game when we were on. So, no, they're fired up, and they got, you know, the right to be. It's, you know, they got that home game, and the weather was just awful and cold as heck, but you couldn't get a seat in the place. And, yeah, I think going into it, they were just a little nervous because they're always nervous about New England and Belichick and that. But you know, once they did what they did, it's like everybody's – full fudge right now, gung-ho Bills. So,
how many people going to KC?
What's that?
Are lots of people? Have you heard many people going to make the trip to Kansas City?
Wait, you see. These people are nuts here for this.
Yeah.
They got their little Bills Mafia thing here that just goes over the top, man. They would go to Siberia to watch this team play, and they'd be there doing their thing.
Okay, can you get me down on the new stadium? I want seats.
Where?
I thought they're building a new stadium for the Bills. When that gets done, don't you have to buy the
still
seats?
Kinda, right? They're still in the talk where and, you know, what kind of a stadium. There's talk of putting it downtown over by the projects that are all closed down by the rink there.
Yeah.
And then they're still talking about putting it across the street in Orchard Park across from the building that's there now. So, hey, this is New York State. Nothing happens fast.
No, if government's involved, nothing happens.
Yeah, it could be a while before they get it all figured out.
Now, I had heard that the game either wasn't sold out or there were cheap tickets available right up to kickoff. Is that just because of the border closure? Or
a lot of the border, and then the you know, the temperature wise as well.
Yeah,
and I think people are looking at it too as an opportunity to cash in. So they're putting those tickets up to to try to cash in on it. But it was packed. They said you couldn't find a spot there.
How's the Big Tree? Have you been to the Big Tree lately? I haven't been to the Big Tree for probably...
I haven't been to a football game lately. I drive by the Big Tree an awful lot, and I kind of giggle sometimes when I go by it. And because we do, because we don't go on the road, if there's something going on, a bandit game or something, a concert in the arena, we do the games from the Bills Stadium. So you're out there, you know, probably we've done probably four or five games from there this year. So you're past it. And yeah, that wasn't a good experience.
That's one of those things
where you just never forget.
You make choices that you question later in life.
Yeah,
that's right. You look back, what the hell was I doing? Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's years.
What's going on at this Big Tree?
And it's usually the next morning when you go and you kind of come around and it's like, oh, hell. There were so many people there. What did I do?
So next year, I'm bringing a crew from Calgary, and we're going to come down there and go to a game. But you have to host us at the Big Tree, I think. Well, I'll even pay you. Because I know you
need to host?
Yeah, I'll pay you. Because I know that you won't do anything.
Yeah, I could probably do that.
Mm-hmm. And how many chicken wings do you think you've eaten in your life?
A lot. You know, the problem is now they're so expensive. You go there and it's like, friggin', they're $2 a wing now. Because there's supposedly a shortage or something on chicken wings, so the price is crazy.
Well, there you go, Rob. There's your next restaurant. You better get into the wing business.
Yeah, yeah. By my luck, as soon as they get going, the price would drop and plummet, and you'd be giving them away. So, yeah, a lot of wings, man. But you know what? You find your spot. Everybody comes and they go, oh, we went to this place, went to this place. All the places
you hear
about.
Yeah.
Elmo's. Still.
Yes, Elmo's is amazing. Yes, I'm with
you. They're still
is Adam still there?
Everybody like the Anchor Bar and Duff's and all that.
No.
Kind of not chain places, but the big, they're not the places to go. You got to go to the little mom and pop bars and restaurants. And
Adam still works there? Do they still run that
Adam
place?
Adam still works there, yeah. Huh. Adam looks like he's about 400 years old. His chest has dropped down around his waist.
Well, that'll happen.
And he's got like grayish, orangey color hair now. And I'm like, dude, what happened? He goes, I don't know. And I go, maybe it's lifestyle, something like that might be affecting it.
Could possible.
Maybe.
Maybe. Or the chicken wings. So, Bills, you know what? They got a chance to win this thing. Are they going to pull it off?
Oh, man. I hope so.
Some scar tissue there, isn't there?
I think everybody, every week, they're gung-ho, but in the back of their minds, they're always kind of like, uh-oh, yeah, there's always that chance. So, KC has not been very good to them in the past, so, yeah. I'm not a betting man, so I really don't care.
Rhett's a betting man.
I'm a big better.
Yeah, 5-1 last week, super wild card weekend, super better, Rhett.
Yeah, if you need easy money. So you're not traveling at all? You're not coming up here in March?
No, we do all the games in from the arena, and it's fantastic.
Love it.
You get down there. We were there last night. There was Marty and Duffer on the 200 level. Dan and I were up in the press box, and we were the only four people in the building. Everybody outside in the truck.
How's the snowstorm? Was it bad?
No storm. I'm sitting here in my truck right now in front of my driveway. Just got done cleaning it out. And there's some idiot down at the end of my street here. And it's iced up now. And he's got a flimsy little shovel. And he's swatting at it, trying to break it. I'm like, you're such a loser. Let the plow do it.
Just pay Robert.
I'm going to drop and have a heart attack. And I'm going to feel guilty for not going over and helping. I'm just walking into the house.
Yeah. Sorry, bud.
But I've been sitting here how long? He's moved about... I don't know, a 2-foot square section of snow. But that's today's job, cleaning up. I got to keep my neighbor's driveways not clean. So my neighbor bought a snowblower. He dropped it off my driveway years ago, and he said, just keep my driveway clean. And I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
So I have that responsibility.
The family was very happy with Marty Baron. I texted him. I said, thanks.
That was a great night. That was a great night how they represented all the guys and the ladies and guys that have lost their lives. It was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool thing.
Just to explain to our listeners, the Sabres, was it last week it must have been, right?
Yeah, it was a week ago, yeah.
Yeah, they had a honoring of the veterans and the players all
over. Yeah, it was all local heroes, police officers, military. That have lost their lives in the line of duty. All the guys wore their jerseys with the individual's names on the back. And then the ones that they couldn't wear, they put them all across the bench and that during warm-up. It was pretty neat.
And Rhett, do you care to share?
Yeah, Dylan Cousins was wearing my brother-in-law's jersey. So we had it on, and it was, I know that for all the family back in Buffalo, it was pretty, well, here too. Yes, it was emotional, but it was really emotional for them. And then Marty Baron came on and talked about Lieutenant Bob or Captain Bob individually, so it was good.
Yeah, awesome. Robert,
we do the odd good thing here.
The odd good thing. Robert,
it's not all negative here.
Go ahead, Rhett.
I'm just going to say, are the owners still happy they own the Sabres, or are they just Bills focused now?
Well, I highly Bills focus because that's the part of the company that makes money. You know, I with us, you know, with everybody, with the lack of attendance and, you know, everything that, you know, it's costing money every year to run this and run this team. So it's, you know, if you're making tens of millions with, you know, the Bills just by opening up the doors, and it's costing you tens of millions to run the Sabres, what are you going to concentrate on?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Razor, good to talk to you, buddy. Glad to hear you're well. You sound well?
Oh, I'm good.
250?
263 the other day, Rat.
It's a nice number.
I feel good, though. I feel good.
Yeah. Well, you're not hungover.
I judge it when I put my dress shirt on every night. If I can get the top button done up, then I'm good. As soon as it starts getting tight and you know, you're kind of getting lightheaded while you're sitting there and you're having to do your thing, that's not a good thing.
Have you ever seen the Kelly Rudy button pop?
Have I ever seen Kelly Rudy?
The button pop, yes. Oh, so good.
Yeah, but don't judge, guys.
I'm not. It was awesome. No.
Come on, Rudy.
I'm going to judge?
Who does Kelly Rudy have to impress about what he looks like? Nobody. Right. I look the same way. As long as my wife is happy, then what do I care what everybody else thinks about what I look like?
Years.
Oh, she's happy.
Come on.
No.
She won't even leave the house anymore. She's so happy. She just, because I'm home, she wants to be home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
It's called depression.
Oh, jeez.
Depression.
Move along here, Rhett.
Yeah.
Sitting there with you, just, what have I got myself into? When are these kids old enough? I'm going to move out.
Now the guy at the end of the street's kicking the snow. He's kicking the pile, trying to break it up.
Go help him. Go help him. You're a Buffalo icon.
I'm going to walk to the corner and just stand there and stare at him.
Just take a video.
Such an idiot.
Robert, we got to roll. Be good. Go Bills.
Guys, stay safe, eh?
Yeah, you bet. You too.
Try to get out of the house and do something.
Yeah, bye.
Appreciate you. Be good.
My daughter just drove out of the driveway, drove right by me, never even waved. She just kept going.
See ya.
They're happy. Everyone's happy.
Sounds good.
Yeah, no, she's great. There's gas in the truck. That's all she cares about.
Yep. Bye, Razor.
All right, guys. Stay in touch.
Will do. There he is. Buffalo sports legend, Rob Ray. We have a lot to do in a short amount. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So we'll break and we'll come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're locked on Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Time for What You Want to Talk About, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Keep the cold out with weather stripping, door sweeps, architectural hardware from Calgary Lock and Safe. Visit calgarylockandsafe.com, 960-960. We understand that there's hour one of the podcast is not up yet. Maybe
it's coming.
Hour one or hour two is not working. We're on it. We appreciate you checking in. Hey, don't feel bad. This is for you. We appreciate that you'd even want to be a part of what we do here. That you'd be even curious about what we do here. So stay in for that. Snow show coming up, and then Flames talk into the nine.
Yeah, we got Jack from Jay Fresh coming on. We're going to start with what was the Sam Bennett player that left Calgary, and what is the Sam Bennett player that came back through Calgary last night? Because they have very different player cards for Jack's work, which looks at sort of the stats and analytics behind the game, and it's incredible transformation from Sam. And we'll go from there into the very tepid and boring conversations in Edmonton these days.
960-960. Boomer the Star Maker calls out Sean Monahan. 2 goals. Who's up on Saturday? I don't know yet. I don't know. Like you said, Rhett, some guys need a little pat in the back. Some guys need a boot in the hoop.
Yeah. Gabe, you got to have instincts for that, and boom, you've got him.
Hey, gents, do you think Monahan was listening to your Blame Monahan campaign yesterday? I don't know. I can only guess.
Oh, I was trying to help Matt Murray, and now he's going to hurt himself.
We always
got
had
him on track.
Oh, sick. Yeah. Only sick. Right? So you crushed him. Then he got back-to-back wins. He responded to your criticism.
Picked him up in fantasy. I need him to get going here.
What?
Do you know how...
What did you just say?
I picked him up in fantasy. Do you know how dire things are? It's been awful. Awful
I
year
think
in fantasy.
This...
You
know,
I hate to do it to you, but I mean...
Oh, my God.
You cannot railroad a guy as badly as you've railroaded a guy and then have him playing on your fantasy? There's no have to.
No, it's even Caramel Venti Mocha's on. Like,
you
could have
picked
left.
Up Hauser.
Doogie Hauser?
That's right. MD. He's available. He's got to be.
Yes. You can't. Sin. It's wrong. It goes against the code. Forsh, get the book out. Boom. Check the book.
Walker would be just irate right now.
Well, I am. That's gross.
Don't worry. I'm trying to drop him. Negligent. I got to find someone else to pick up.
Yeah. Just called up Rob Ray's stats. That's old-time hockey.
Oh, dude.
I forget.
He's one of top 10. I think he's sixth overall in penalty minutes ever.
I don't think of, I guess it just kind of goes over my head. There will be people who be, oh, Rob Ray, what, fighter? That won't really know. You need to, you'll spend an hour on YouTube and you won't hit the same one twice. It's just an absolute clinic of old time, old school hockey. And the thing
if
was,
you like punch in the face contests, go do it.
Like, is he the greatest enforcer of all time? He's got to be in the conversation, right?
He's top 10.
And it's weird because when you say enforcer, you think big guy, right? That's going to intimidate.
But
was Robin, would he intimidate, or was he just the guy that was willing to go with anyone at any time?
Oh, I think he's got to be intimidation.
He got to an intimidation, yeah. But you weren't like Peter Worrell was intimidating. He was a big 6'7", like, yeah. He's going, this is not, Rob Ray was like, I think I, then he'd smack you a few times and you'd hit him and he'd be like, let's go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Brian McGrattan was intimidating. He was massive, huge human. Bob Probert looked like a great white. They always refer to Bob Probert as the great white out there. He's skating around the ice with the dead eyes, and he's like, I'm going to get you.
Oh,
that's Razor was intimidating a different way, but he wasn't that big physical presence, right? He didn't have that part of it.
That's a spooky good analogy, the great white.
Oh, yeah. He was exactly like that. It was like, oh, don't look at me. I'm scared.
Rob Ray, and we do have to go, but Rob Ray a lot like Domi. Not only could you throw him, mm-hmm. you can take some shots.
Well, and that's the key, right? Because that job, you're going to get hit a few times, and it's just like you see some guys that can for a year or two, but to do that job for that long, goodness, you got to be able to eat knuckles. It's ugh.
Yeah.
I think I've only really seen him get hurt by Twister's punch, and that was
wow.
Other than that, he usually would take it pretty good.
I said, you know, Tony Twist, not real tough. And it's kind of those things.
And the best part it was, is like Razor, he was so cocky, but what am I going to be scared of? Bam! Ooh, that one hurts.
Scary. It's going to do it for the show today. We got what you want to talk about. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Keep the cold out with weather-stripping door sweeps, architectural hardware from Calgary Lock and Safe. Visit calgarylockandsafe.com. Time now for the Snow Show.
See ya, boys. Snow Show time. It's brought to you by Lou's Performance Center with ski boots as comfortable as bedroom slippers. Available now at Lou's, 6434 1A Street Southwest. And look at that. We got Lou on the phone line right here, right now. Sir, how are you? I hear the skiing's amazing. You must be smiling ear to ear.
Skiing is absolutely amazing. I was at Louise Sunday and Monday. I never get to ski 2 days in a row. Skiing was great. And I hear Sunshine is the same. I heard Nikiska is the same. Castle the same. There's been snow everywhere. And the skiing is great.
This is the time of year.
I know Fernie got hit with a bit of rain, but they always bounce back big time with a huge storm right after. So the skiing's good.
It's the time of year we remind people that it only gets better from here. The days are going to get longer. You're going to get more sunlight. There's going to be a ton more snow. The weather's going to get warmer. Like, we are heading into prime time for the ski season, Lou.
That's exactly right. We start off, I mean, this year we started phenomenally well, just so early. But yeah, it just keeps building and building and building and building, and the snow just keeps coming, and more terrain opens up, and you're right, days get longer, it gets warmer, it just keeps getting better. It's a shame we have to finish in May.
Yeah.
It's still good then.
No, it's great. I recall being up last May with the family, and you're just sitting out on the lawn chair, peel off
exactly.
A few layers, sit in the sun. You watch the nose, you get the nose burnt. That's the only bad thing I can say about May skiing.
Yeah.
Okay, we got you on today. The store, obviously, Lou's Performance Center, just behind Home Depot, across from Chinook Center there. You are the guru when it comes to, obviously, the boot fitting, specialty gear for touring. Also, you've got a lot of the heating stuff, which is important. We know our winters are cold, and you can extend your window to ski and the weather you're willing to ski. And if you got warm gear, that comes with batteries. You wanted to talk about lithium ion batteries.
Yeah, all our gear, even our phones now and computers, everything is lithium ion batteries. And lithium ion batteries require special care. That includes the lithium ion batteries that are in gloves and in toe warmers inside boots. And most of us, I get questions all the time, most of us don't take care of them properly. We keep our computers plugged in all day long, and we treat the lithium ion batteries for gloves and boot warmers exactly the same. And it's the wrong way to take care of them, and it decreases the number of times we can recharge them, and it decreases the amount of power they hold. Mm-hmm. So most of us get home at the end of the day, batteries are completely dead because we've had gloves on all day, and we put the batteries away dead. And we don't charge them maybe until the next time we ski, and then we charge them fully. Or we come home and put them on the charger right away and just leave them on the charger for days till the next time we ski. Both things are wrong. Hmm. What's supposed to happen is we get home and the batteries are dead and we charge them right away. But rather than charging them fully and then putting them away, we should charge them to about 50 or 60% of maximum, take them off the charger, and then store them like that until we're ready to use them again. And then I would say charge them just the night before you go out so that they never sit around empty and they never sit around fully charged. When they're being stored, they're just at a half charge. And there's a great website. It's batteryuniversity.com. I can't include the link here on radio, but batteryuniversity.com has great information, simple charts and text that tells us exactly how to take care of lithium ion batteries. It's a good website.
Your website's a great one as well. There's lots of informative stuff there. You've got a ton of sort of like studies, scientific backgrounds, videos, walking people through technology. I love it. And one of the areas that is now live on your website is your women's specific ski stuff. And I remember talking to you 5-6 years ago, and you said, you know, a lot of the big stores and sports and big manufacturers will just pink it and shrink it and call it women's. But it sounds like you've got a great selection of women's stuff that's better than that.
Well, we have a great selection of women's stuff that is either not pink it, shrink it, or if it is, just because it started out as men's gear doesn't mean it can't work really well for women. We just need to know what we're working with and then how to modify that gear to make it work for women, and then it can work really well. The problem is that the problem comes when we treat men's gear as women's gear, except that it's women's gear, even though the difference is only a color, and then don't change anything about the setup for women as opposed to men. And it needs to be different. And if it's altered, it can all work really well. So at Lose, we know when we're selling women's gear, and we know when we're selling men's gear that is just a different color. So we know when to change the setup and get everything working really well. And that applies to boots, too.
Yeah, and you're saying binding position on skis is a big one for women versus men. If it is a men's ski that they've shrunk and pinked or whatever, that you just move the bindings to a different spot and it can be a really functional ski still.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we get complaints all the time from women maybe buying skis from other stores or just not understanding in general, come in saying their skis feel really heavy. It takes me a while to figure out what they mean. I think initially they mean they're heavy to carry around the parking lot. What they're really saying is that they feel heavy to ski. They're really difficult to turn. And that's almost always because the binding position is too far back, especially true on skis that are pink-a-trinket skis. And if you simply move the bindings a centimeter or two forward, they work great. But you have to be going to a store that knows to do that and knows how to fix those problems. And, of course, that's all the kind of things that we specialize in at Lose.
Head to the website for more, lous.ca, Lose Performance Center. Lou, thanks for it. Appreciate it. Hope we see you out in the mountains here. And glad you got back-to-back days. It's been a great year, apparently.
It's been a great year, and I hope to see you really soon, and we will get some time in this year.
Love it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right. There's Lou for the Snow Show. Brought to you by Luz Performance Center, dedicated to helping skiers have better skiing experiences every day since 2002. Visit lous.ca. That does it for the 8 o'clock hour. We'll come back with Flames Talk. Jack from J Fresh Hockey. We heard some claims by Mark Spector. Duncan Keith's been very good this year. We'll check the sniff test analytically on that. We'll ask what in the world happened to Sam Bennett, who went bottom six to top six after his trade from Calgary to Florida. And we'll dive into the interaction between Jim Matheson and Leon Draisaitl. It is tense times up north. That's all ahead in Flames Talk, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.